We hear this morning the words of the prophet Isaiah from the 40th chapter as he speaks of those who prepare hearts for the arrival of Christ. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You owe President Dwight D. Eisenhower a debt of gratitude that you maybe have never even thought about. He was the president in U.S. history who championed the cause of the U.S. interstate system. And he's probably saved you hundreds of hours in your life, possibly a lot of money and gas, and maybe even saved your life through the security provided and the safety of our highway system. The highway and interstate system in our country really is pretty amazing if you think about it. We kind of take it for granted because it's all around us, but absolutely fascinating. And that highway construction that sometimes has to go on for years in order for a highway to be completed, we drive over it in our cars in just a matter of seconds. If you've ever gone from Minnesota into Wisconsin in the southern route and taken the interstate to get there, you go through La Crosse. Just think of all the different types of terrain that you go through, the deep valleys that you drive down into, crossing an enormous river, huge river, and different places where the highways had to be carved into the side of a small mountain. It's just absolutely amazing, and we just drive through it in a matter of minutes. I have a friend that was a member of a church I served years ago who used to head up construction projects in southern Minnesota, road construction, and he told me once, as I was driving in the car with him, he said, every 10 feet that your car is driving, every 10 feet has to be analyzed by an engineer, an architectural road engineer, to decide what type of asphalt is used just on that 10 feet. And that gets programmed into a computer in those huge tar machines, asphalt machines we see making highways. It actually dictates, depending on the type of land that's under it, the water density. It's just absolutely fascinating. And of course, we don't even think about that as we're driving along. The prophet Isaiah today uses the construction of a highway, the construction of roads, even in his day, to talk about how those who preach the word of God to people, as we prepare for the coming and the arrival of our Savior, how hearts in people's lives and how their hearts are prepared, and he uses the illustration of constructing a road for this. All of the obstructions, the potential geographical terrain type obstructions in my heart, need to be dealt with directly from the Word of God in order for me to be properly ready and prepared for the Savior who is coming. He's talking about the landscape of humanity, us, you and me. We are valleys and mountains and rocks, and how the word of God goes out when it is preached and proclaimed to prepare people for the coming of Christ. This is what Isaiah is speaking about. He says, every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. I'll give you an example of that. I've had times in teaching adult instruction classes, it's usually about the second lesson in the series, when I've taken people through kind of a long list of possible sins before God. Most of them are just sins that happen in your thoughts, just in your attitude and things. And I've had people tell me as we get through that long list, some of you have had me in class, we use it in our Life of Christ class here. When we get through that long list, by the end of it, people are just surprised with themselves how wicked we really are, each one of us. When you tick through all of those things that God says are sin, and these aren't even big things. And so often by the end of that, people realize their guilt before God. Sometimes in the construction of highways, Dynamite has to be used. If you've ever seen places where you're driving along a big cliff and there's some sharp rock next to you, or you can tell there's been a cut made by people. And if you look, you can actually see the marks where the dynamite had to be drilled down into the rock to blast off the side of a mountain. There are times when individual hearts need to be addressed with the Word of God, with the law of God, and had it pointed out directly to someone. Sometimes they're not even aware of their sin, or they've kind of chosen to push it aside. I think about how Nathan was sent by God to King David. David had fallen into these sins, and he didn't even care about them. Probably still thought he was some great believer before God, but God sent Nathan directly to him to confront him, and through a very powerful story, gets David to judge himself by seeing his sin in another situation. And then Nathan turns it on him and says, "Thou art the man." There's the dynamite of God having to blast away his self-righteousness and to get him to see his sin. And I know for myself, as a believer in Christ, I know for myself I can start to drift back into spiritual arrogance sometimes. I can start to look at all the chaos going on in the world and how bad things are and start to feel pretty good about myself. Yeah, man, if there were just more people like me in the world who loved God and dedicated my life to Christ, just think how much better this world would be. Just think how many good things could happen in this world if there were more people like me out there. Look at all the evil going on in the streets of our country. God, I thank you I'm not like that. I'm sure glad I am such a religious, spiritually minded person. God sure must be happy with me. Well, that's a mountain that needs to be blasted. That self-righteous pride and arrogance needs to be driven out of my heart by the law of God. Or maybe we've gotten comfortable with a particular sin in our life. And maybe we've gotten to the point where we just justify it because everybody else does it, or because it's something that the world doesn't even take seriously anymore. And we're just holding on to the sin, acting as if, well, I can still be a follower of Christ and still love my sin. There's no contradiction there. Dr. Walther used to say to preachers who preach to people like that, where they maybe feel like they can keep sinning and it really doesn't matter at all, he used to say, "Don't furnish soft pillows and cushions for secure sinners." In other words, don't give them the grace of God. Don't give them the approval to think they can just keep on going on with their sin and it's no big deal to God. So this is what Isaiah is talking about when he says that every mountain needs to be brought low. Every place where we need the law of God to chisel away at us and to bring us down in repentance before God, that's how God, the Holy Spirit, prepares us for the coming of Christ. And then Isaiah says, every valley shall be exalted. All the low places, all the places that are low will be brought up. If you go over to that area of La Crosse today, you'll see a bridge that's being made to span across the Mississippi River, 2,500 plus feet, $200 million project. It's going to take years for it to be finished. What used to take families 150 years ago days to try to figure out a way to cross that river, you and I are going to go across in about 30 seconds with our cars because of that special construction. When Isaiah talks about the valleys being brought up so that the road can make everything smooth, he's talking about the distribution of the gospel to people whose hearts have been hurt and burdened with the conscience, with the guilt of their conscience. The gospel and the beautiful grace of what Christ has come to do is there for them. Maybe it's something that you've done in your life years ago, and you're the only one in the whole world that knows about it. Just you and God. And it troubles you, and it pricks at your conscience. Well, there the grace of God needs to come and be brought directly to you. I remember years ago I had a college student come to me many years ago, and she was so burdened at night she couldn't sleep. And when she started confessing her sin to me, she was shaking. And her sin was that she had cheated her employer out of 15 minutes of time on her time card. And that was burdening her conscience so much. She was so low from that. And it was my privilege to announce the forgiveness of sins to her through Christ. We think of how Jesus dealt with that woman caught in adultery, ready to be stoned to death for her sin. Imagine what was going through her mind. Not only was she terrified to die, but knowing she's going to be facing God and she's just been caught in a horrific act against his will, how did her conscience burn and hurt? But how does our Lord Jesus come and lift her up? He builds that highway up. He builds it up by giving her the forgiveness of sins and the promise of his grace. If this is where you are spiritually today, then allow the Holy Spirit through my sinful mouth to build up the highway in you. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice the word all in there. No matter whatever one is bothering you right now, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hear another one. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And another one from Isaiah that is one of my favorite. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. So even if you feel like you're weak and you're struggling in your faith and you wish it was stronger, sometimes you wonder if it's even there. Listen to that verse again. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. By his holy word proclaimed in our midst, may God continue to construct and build in each of our hearts a highway for our Lord, so that when his birth comes, we can celebrate it with great joy, knowing that he is our great and glorious King, our Savior. Amen. Please rise. Please take out your hymn book and turn to page 170 in the front part of your hymn book, page 170. You'll find there the prayer for Friday morning. Please join me with that. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always that I may worship you in spirit and truth and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him, for you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who has made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart, and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Continue with hymn 94.